Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, TuneIn, anywhere you can find podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star review. Send us an email with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook @LockedOnBulls as well. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund.
Sean Media Days Hyken here. of the Athletic.
That's right. We have actual job news. I am now the Bulls beat writer for The Athletic, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a startup site, started about 6 or 7 months ago. It's run by our good friend John Greenberg, former columnist at ESPN Chicago, and it is a subscription-based site. It costs money, but there are no ads, no autoplay videos, and they've got, I mean, even besides John and me, they have some of the best sports writers in Chicago, really. Scott Powers on the Blackhawks, Sahadev Sharma on the Cubs, Dan Durkin on the Bears. It's you should really subscribe.
It's terrific. It's a great opportunity for you.
And I'm really happy about it. I'm glad it's out there and it's official.
Big congrats on it. The one thing you won't get at The Athletic is cliches, which we had many of at Bulls Media Day.
Media Day's here.
And that's what Media Day's for. It's all about cliches. It's about teaming up to transcribe a lot of words from Bulls players, Fred Hoiberg, John Paxton, Gar Foreman, thousands of words, and you try to find out which, like, 12 words of those mean something or where someone said something significant. We had Fred Hoiberg touching on the Bulls going 7-1 last year against the top two teams in the East.
You're not going to believe this, but Gar Foreman brought up the Bulls' regular season record over the last
decade
10 years.
Of success, basically, if you you can make math do whatever you want for yourself, usually.
So when we did our over-unders podcast a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things we really didn't do was we didn't talk about the over-under of
Tony Snell references.
How many times somebody related to the Bulls would talk about what a great summer Tony Snell had. And if the over-under line was set at 2.5, you would have had to take the over because it happened 3 times. Once from Gar Foreman, twice from Fred Hoiberg.
You are the Tony Snell reference tracker, I guess, in life, because I only heard one. I don't know if we tuned it out a little bit there, but yes, the Bulls, they're excited about everyone, right? That's what the offseason's for.
That's what Media Day is for. Everybody's in the best shape of their lives. Everybody has gotten so much better. Everybody's added a lot to their game. Everybody feels like they can win a championship, because until the season starts, everybody's 0-0. Everybody's entering training camp with a lot of optimism, except maybe like the Brooklyn Nets or something.
As it pertains to the Bulls, maybe of substance, Dwayne Wade is in probably not the best shape of his life, but good shape for a 34-year-old. Fred Hoiberg called it tremendous that he was able to get 74 games in last year. I thought he went a little bit out of his way to emphasize and say tremendous.
And it's worth pointing out, by the way, that he played 74 games, which is the most games he's played in a season since 2011. But he also only played 30.5 minutes per game, which is the lowest amount of his career. They didn't say. We asked both Gar Foreman and Fred Hoiberg about it. They both have said that they talked to Dwayne Wade about potentially limiting his minutes, but they obviously didn't go into specifics about how many that might be or what the plan is. But I would imagine, as we've talked about on this program before, his minutes are probably going to be in the high 20s or low 30s, and he might sit out some back-to-backs here and there. I don't think it's going to be the full Tim Duncan treatment, but
certainly
they're going to be careful.
His usage rate is going to be just his usage. Minutes-wise is going to be a big storyline all season. As it pertains to that, too, along those lines, staggering minutes. Fred Hoiberg was asked about that today. And I think it was interesting that last year he acknowledged at the end of the year he was going to look in, research staggering Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler's minutes. Obviously, new faces here with Rondo and Wade involved and Derrick Rose off to the New York Knicks via trade. But Fred said that was a big part of his summer, like just the Bulls as a group looking into that ever since free agency ended. Rondo, Wade, Butler, and they have a lot to learn, and they've got to get them on the court together before they decide how to do that. But it does sound like they're very open. Hoiberg's open to staggering Butler, Rondo, Wade's minutes, which we've talked about, I think, before, Sean. That's a needed step probably for them. Of course, you know, in years past, last year, it was Derrick Rose saying in September 2015 that he was already looking towards summer 2017 free agency. There wasn't quite a storyline like that at Bulls Media Day today, which is probably a good thing, Sean.
There was not really any drama or anything that could really be thought of as a distraction. Although I will say, you know, staying with Derrick Rose for a second, just we've been updating you guys a little bit on the podcast about his legal situation, obviously, with the sexual assault lawsuit, the civil case that he's facing in California. It came out today that the Los Angeles Police Department has looked into
criminal investigation.
And it's possible they file criminal charges against him at some point. Yeah. I asked when during the John Paxson and Gar Forman session, I asked them if the legal situation with Derek had anything to do with their decision to trade him. And Gar Forman was very, very, very blunt and said, no, it had nothing to do with it. It was purely a basketball decision.
And then John Paxson followed up a couple follow-up questions later and said the Bulls never did any investigation into those accusations against Derrick Rose. They didn't know anything more, or so they claim they didn't know anything more than what the average person knew in the news. So that's the approach the Bulls organization took,
and
for
what
better
it's worth,
or for worse.
For what it's worth, the Knicks had their media day today as well in New York, and Derrick Rose said that he's not too concerned about the case and he thinks he is going to be proven innocent. There wasn't really anything groundbreaking to come out of it, but I mean, that's just kind of where things are at this point. As of right now, unless there's a settlement, it's scheduled to go to trial on October 4th, which is a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, and back to more to the point, though, with the Bulls, media day. I think the biggest thing, I do think Fred Hoiberg's looking forward to having all these fresh faces. There's expected to be there are going to be eight new guys on the expected 15-man roster if it plays out like we expect. And Derrick Rose leaving is obviously the biggest loss, or the biggest change might be the better way to
Derrick
put
it. Derrick
and
Joe both.
Yeah, it's a big change for Hoiberg because he's going from Rose to Rondo. And there's no doubt Fred Hoiberg made clear today that he admitted the spotlight's on him and this self-proclaimed, self-termed three alphas of the Bulls. I believe it was Rondo that termed that back in July after they signed him. Hoiberg knows he has to get this to work. He understands that in this second year, he has more pressure on himself. Because he said today, quote, "I put a lot of pressure on myself. This is a high-pressure job, and I understand that. Again, nobody looked at this thing harder in the offseason than I did and was harder on themselves than I was." Sean, what did you make of Fred Hoiberg's comments along that lines and just how he's going to juggle, handle, communicate, and connect with these three key players for the Bulls?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit easier for him to do that than it was last year, with that group being pretty much intact from where it was for several years before, where it's guys who already had so many relationships with each other, and a new coach has to come in and try to get everybody to listen to him and rally around him. And if these guys have been together for longer than they've been with him, you know, it's a lot more, it's a little bit more difficult. I think he's going to have maybe an easier time, but
this Bulls group has nothing set in stone. No ways are set. Like, there is no continuity, which can be bad, but at the same time, at least it's a blank canvas.
After what happened last year, I think this is a group that needs to have some kind of a fresh start and just a different identity. And the fact that there are so many newcomers on the team with Rondo and Wade and Robin Lopez and Jerry and Grant and so many others, like, there's going to be an opportunity to do that. One thing I thought was kind of interesting, staying on the Hoiberg thing for a minute, Cody, is there was a little bit of passive-aggressive Jimmy Butler putting pressure on Fred as well. He was saying that, yeah, it was Fred Hoiberg's first year, and just like any player, he's looking at what he can do better and try to improve. I thought that was kind of funny the way he phrased that.
Yeah, I thought Jimmy actually came off better today. I caught that briefly. I didn't read as much as you did into that, I don't think. I think Jimmy doesn't know the basketball politics like Dwayne Wade does.
Right.
And I don't think there was any maliciousness behind that comment.
No, I just thought it was funny.
Or anything like that.
I just thought it was funny.
He doesn't term everything as properly as as D Wade would, for example. But I thought there was one Jimmy Butler quote that I did think stood out. And he said, Jimmy said, quote, "I told Fred, as much as you can, use me as an example. I want you to really get on my tail about every little thing," end quote. And that's significant because last year Jimmy Butler, who said to Hoiberg, coach harder, you know what I mean?
Right.
And now Jimmy wants to be the example and is saying, yeah, you can coach me harder. But, like, Jimmy feels like if he gets yelled at, everyone else can fall in line behind him.
Well, that's a thing, and I'm in no way comparing this Bulls team with the Spurs dynasty of however many years it's been, you know, the last two decades. But one thing that, you know, everybody who talks about how great the Spurs have been and how it's been sustainable for so long, one of the things they always talk about is that Greg Popovich will go at Tim Duncan and curse him out. And everybody else on the team feels like if you're going at Tim Duncan, who's a Hall of Famer and one of the 10 best players of all time, and Tim Duncan is sitting there and taking it and being willing to listen and take feedback and take criticism, then is anybody else on the team not to do that? And Jimmy kind of pointed out the same thing, is that he wants kind of the guys at the end of the bench, the younger guys, to see, okay, if Fred is going at me, then he's going to go at these other guys too. But it was just kind of a subtle shift, because he basically, if you break down that comment, he basically said that he wants Fred Hoiberg to coach the team harder, but the way he phrased...
Coach him harder. No, Jimmy harder.
Well, no. I mean, well, there's that, but the way he did it this time, when he did it in December, when it kind of caused that little bit of friction, he just went out and told reporters, the coach needs to coach us harder, as opposed to now he's saying, just kind of relaying a conversation that he supposedly has already had with Fred, where he's saying, yes, I told him that he needs to coach us harder. So I think it's kind of a way to convey that they're actually communicating more directly than maybe they were last season.
Yeah, and you bring up communication. Fred cited that for a lot. I mean,
those are his two words, communication and consistency.
Yes, very much so. And I don't know. This Bulls team, I mean, they need to find an identity. And I don't think we know that yet. We're not going to know that for a while. Ideally, they'd like the talents of Wade, Rondo, Butler to shine through and be good on offense and capable on defense, and be a better rebounding team, a little more hardworking, and win, you know, 40-some games and make the playoffs. Now, I don't know how much of that identity will come to fruition, but Fred did say communication is key, just for, philosophically speaking, for the big three. No surprise there. Or, excuse me, not big three, three alphas. And then as well as he attributed a lot of the defensive breakdowns last year to a lack of communication. So when you're looking basketball-wise, practically, he mentioned those. As far as it's going to work offensively, John Paxton hinted that there might be a few new things, a few new wrinkles, but they didn't really explain anything. Fred said they kind of want to get out and transition the ball to their wings early in the offense, if not transition, and let them cut up that defense right away and play from there. He said basically trust is key. You got to share the ball to have that trust between those three. So there's not a lot playing style-wise I don't think we're going to figure out or solve yet, but I did find it comical, Sean, that several people asked the Bulls about their three-point shooting or lack thereof, having three subpar three-point shooters in Rondo, Butler, and Wade for Hoiberg's preferred space and pace system that relies on three-point shooting. And the conviction with which Jimmy Butler and Rondo shot down those concerns was hilarious.
We have multiple playmakers. Multiple playmakers is another buzzword that I think we're going to hear a lot of this season.
It's very true, but Jimmy's like, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Dwayne Wade scored a lot of points before.
Yeah, he has
scoring's
scored
not going to be a
right,
problem.
He has scored a lot of points, but he's also a career, like, 28% three-point
and
shooter.
And Rondo said, my playmaking is what makes it easier for everyone. That's my track record throughout my career. That's paraphrasing.
And Fred pointed out also that Rondo had his career high 36% three-point shooting last season. Fred made sure to point that out.
Fred is very, very cognizant of all the advanced metrics, all the stats. He was citing pre and post January 1st defensive statistics and defensive efficiency. So he's well aware of those and how it was going right.
He's also,
and then when it went
he's
wrong.
Also using, he's also speaking of numbers, he's using the 38.5 over under Vegas betting line motivation. As motivation.
You gotta have the nobody believes in us attitude, right? Like, if no one believes in this Bulls team, who's going to? They're the only ones that can believe in themselves.
And honestly, I can kind of see where you're coming from if you're this Bulls team and you think, you know, this, they were such a mess last year, and they still won 42 games, and Vegas is picking them to go below 500. Like, I can understand if they take that as a slight, you know, whether I personally agree with that win projection or not.
Yeah, anything else stick out to you today? I did want to point out, I thought John Paxton emphasized again there would be a lot of opportunity for Doug McDermott, Nico Mirotic, Denzel Valentine. So if you're looking for the three young guys who are going to get the most opportunity, no surprise there. But I know you talk about Jaren Grant, Tony Snell, some of those younger guys. Like, those aren't the guys getting a lot of the opportunity. It's going to be Nico, Doug, Denzel. And he said how well those three progress will largely go toward determining how good the Bulls can be. I thought that was a note. I don't think it's groundbreaking, earth-shattering, but he expects a lot out of those three.
Yeah, I mean, that's something, and that's something that a lot of the guys that talked today said, that, you know, that they like what a lot of the young guys are going to bring. And by the way, Doug McDermott, sporting number 11 for the first time. We still have not yet confirmed whether Dwayne Wade paid him for number three, or...
Probably got him a really nice watch.
Because there's
that's
some
probably a starting point.
That's right. That's one thing. I mean,
that's a classic.
I think
one.
We'll probably find that out at some point. I know there's a watch company that Dwayne Wade is an endorser of. I'm sure
Dwayne Wade has his own line of wine now. I'm sure he sent him a couple bottles.
Dwayne Wade
of
has a lot of things. He has his own wine. He has his own pocket squares. He has his own watches. he has his own socks with Stance.
What did you think of Dwayne Wade today?
He was great. He's always great. And he talked about a lot of different stuff. I mean, he talked, and we'll get into that as it gets closer to the season and we see what these players actually do. But he addressed the Colin Kaepernick stuff, you know, with, you know, the national anthem protests and
Chris Bosh stuff.
Chris, well, obviously, the news from this weekend that Chris Bosh, who is one of Dwayne Wade's close friends, that he played with in Miami for 6 years. Over the weekend, Chris Bosh, you know, obviously the last couple of years, he has had his last two seasons cut short by recurring blood clots, and he had been pushing hard to get cleared to return this training camp. And then over the weekend, he failed his physical, so he wasn't able to get cleared. And then this morning at Miami Media Day, Pat Riley told reporters that as far as they're concerned, he's done. And so Dwayne, I mean, it was kind of good perspective that Dwayne gave about what is going on with Chris, where, you know, as his friend, he's concerned more about whether Chris is healthy and can be around his kids for a long time. And if he can't play basketball again, it sucks, but, like, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and Dwayne Wade, he's going to be good for this squad. You know, Paxton and Foreman both already lauded his leadership.
Right.
And I'm not a huge guy into, like, these games are won by intangibles every time. Like, I think that's a little cliche and overused, but there's no doubt that leadership is a huge role, and the Bulls didn't have enough of it last year, and they weren't on the same page. But also, I mean, I think it's helpful when your leader is more outspoken, and for better or for worse, sometimes Derek was their best player, obviously.
And he's more
and
of a quiet leader.
He's a quiet guy. I think that's hard. And now you have someone who Jimmy Butler is clearly not afraid to speak out last year through the media, and to his teammates maybe a little coarse at times and needs to figure out the best way to do that. But Dwayne Wade knows how to do that, and I think that will help. And that's probably where the optimism should stem from, is just getting that leadership and having less drama, hopefully, for the Bulls, and having that translate to the court and just more better basketball continuity.
And with Dwayne Wade, like, he has been through so much more drama and so much more controversy than anything that this Bulls team is going to throw at them. He was, you know, there was all that backlash when LeBron and Bosh went to Miami in 2010 when they had the welcome party and they had so much scrutiny. He went through that. A few years before that, they traded for Shaq, who's another big personality. They were able to navigate that.
Literally and figuratively, a huge personality.
Well,
Shaq,
yeah.
One of
right.
The biggest personalities.
Right, but
in
like
NBA
just
history.
Having a guy like Dwayne Wade, and also just in terms of his accomplishments in his career, you know, 3-time champion, finals MVP, however, like 12 time All Star, whatever it is, you know, guaranteed future Hall of Famer. He is the most, whether, you know, he's at the peak of his career right now or not, which obviously he isn't because he's 34, Dwayne Wade is the most accomplished player that the Bulls have had on their roster since Michael Jordan.
Yeah, one of those sources of friction for the Bulls potentially would be Rondo clashing with Hoiberg because of Rondo clashing and butting heads with coaches in several past stops, most notably with Rick Carlisle in Dallas. Didn't work out at all a few years back. But so far, so good. Like, if we have a Hoiberg-Rondo meter, like, relationship, like, we're on 10 out of 10 right now.
That's something we need to keep make as a regular feature.
Yes, that's true. That's true. We should.
Weekly update.
It's 10 out of 10 right now. Like, red hot. Good relationship. Rondo said, again, he didn't say much today.
Availability was like 3 minutes.
Yeah, he was at the press conference at the day or whatever, and he doesn't suffer fools at all. He doesn't do group interview sessions very well with dumb questions, so he was very short on his answers. For example, one of them was, what's the biggest difference between Rondo back in Boston and today's Rondo here in Chicago? And he said, I'm 30 now, which I
laughed at immediately. The other one was, somebody asks him what his impressions were of the Bulls last year, and he was like, well, I was out in Sacramento. Everyone was really paying attention to the Bulls.
Exactly. So the one point he did say, though, was that, again, he complimented the three-hour meeting he had with Hoiberg before he agreed to terms with the Bulls.
Right,
and free agency.
And that was a
and
thing,
he called him really intelligent. He called
Fred
intelligent.
That was his one sense of Hoiberg, was really intelligent. That was his entire thing.
And that's important because, again, you have to realize how intelligent Rondo is as a basketball player, and how, if you don't understand how he sees the floor, that can lead to turnovers, everything not working the way he would like it to work, and then it leads to friction and problems, and it turns out poorly. But if you have minds that can help think alike, or you have a coach who can put people in the position to take advantage of Rondo's talents and passing talents, that's a big first hurdle for the Bulls toward being really, maybe not really good, but being a good offense, and just finding their way again, literally. So that's good so far. The Rondo meter with Hoiberg, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. We're starting it positive.
I think that takes care of most of the storylines from Bulls Media Day. Again, nothing earth-shattering, but many storylines will keep following. The Bulls have their first practice of the season Tuesday, actually a scheduled double session.
Two a day.
10 a.m., 5 p.m. on the docket. It sounds like the Bulls, Paxton had referenced previously, a tougher training camp to get these guys whipped up into shape together. So I'd expect a two a day on Tuesday. Dwayne Wade's first practice as a Chicago Bull. We'll keep an eye on that as always.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as always, remember, and this is going to be part of, we have to do the whole spiel of telling you where to find us. Subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/Chicago. Go pick a subscription plan. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you subscribe. There's a lot of great content about all the Chicago teams. The Cubs are gearing up to make a playoff run. They've already clinched home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs. So you're going to want to read what Sahad of Sharma has to say about them during that playoff run. Obviously, I'm going to be covering the Bulls this season for The Athletic, so make sure you do that. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play.
Email us with any basketball-related questions, advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. We will certainly welcome more of your questions here as the week goes on. Today, we just wanted to get you the media day kind of spiel and recap. But as always, thanks for listening, and take care until next time.